Ready to become fluent with the Thinking in English community? Look no further. Introducing Thinking in English classes run by qualified English teachers. We have designed our own group classes and tuition platform where you can take interactive English Zoom lessons. Each lesson comes with PDF worksheets, self-study exercises, and expert teacher feedback. Visit my website, thinkinginenglish.link, to explore our wide range of packages and sign up for a half-price trial lesson. But hurry, this offer won't last forever. If you are new to Thinking in English classes, enter the code TRIAL50 during sign-up to unlock your exclusive half-price trial lesson. That's TRIAL50. Don't miss out on this incredible opportunity to elevate your English skills. Join our growing community of learners and let us guide you on your language learning journey. Hello, I'm Tom Wilkinson and welcome to the Thinking in English podcast, a podcast for intermediate to advanced level English learners. I've spent the past few weeks reading academic papers about sleep, immediate feedback, goal setting, perfectionism, and more. Today, let me share my findings with you and discuss how science can help you learn English. You can find the full transcript for today's episode for free over on the Thinking in English blog. The link is in the description. Here is today's vocabulary list. Sleep deprivation. Sleep deprivation. The condition of not having had enough sleep or of being prevented from having enough sleep, especially for several days or more. As in, one in three new mothers suffers serious sleep deprivation. Impaired. Impaired. Damaged in a way that makes something less effective. For example, she suffers from impaired hearing. Attention span. Attention span. The length of time that someone can keep their thoughts and interest fixed on something. For example, young children have quite short attention spans. To consolidate. To consolidate. To become or cause something to become stronger and more certain. As in, the success of their major product consolidated the firm's position in the market. Perfectionism. Perfectionism. The tendency to strive for flawless performance, hindering language learners' progress. As in, obsessive perfectionism can be very irritating. To internalize. To internalize. To accept or absorb an idea, opinion, belief, etc., so that it becomes part of your character. For instance, it can take decades before people internalize the values of democracy. Near miss. Near miss. An attempt to do or achieve something that fails, although it almost succeeds. For example, he should have won the match. It was a near miss. Unrealistic. Unrealistic. Having a wrong idea of what is likely to happen or of what you can really do, not based on facts. For example, he has unrealistic expectations about the success of his business. Last week, I released an episode on science and language learning, where I talked about evidence and research-based advice for English learners. We talked about distributed practice, the importance of context, the need to focus on pronunciation and sounds, and the benefits of immersion. Make sure you go and listen to that episode. While I was researching, I found so much information that I decided to make another episode, this one you are listening to right now. So here are some more science-based tips, tricks, and advice for English learners. Sleep more. Here is a tip that at first might not seem overly related to language learning. Take a nap. However, science has shown that napping and sleep in general could be a very powerful tool when it comes to learning and studying. The research suggests that taking a 1 hour nap can have a significant positive impact on brain power. This leads to increased cognitive abilities, or, in other words, can make a person smarter. When we sleep, our brain processes information and clears out our short-term memory, making space for new learning and allowing us to retain more information. The study I found highlights the importance of napping during a specific stage of sleep known as stage 2 non-REM sleep. This stage is crucial for refreshing our memory capacity and enhancing learning. Napping during this stage can lead to a better memory and retention of new knowledge. Conversely, sleep deprivation has negative effects on our ability to learn and memorize new facts. When we don't get enough sleep, our ability to think is impaired, and it becomes challenging to absorb and retain information effectively. For English learners, this research emphasizes the significance of getting enough sleep. It is essential for learning and language acquisition. Prioritize your rest and consider including short naps to enhance your memory. It is one of the easiest things we can all do. In the context of language learning, a well-rested brain can process new vocabulary, grammar rules, and language patterns more efficiently. Getting enough sleep allows you to consolidate the knowledge gained during your English studies, leading to better language retention and improved fluency. Furthermore, the study's implications can be relevant for English learners who are aging. As you get older, you may experience reduced sleep quality and duration, which could impact your learning ability. Understanding this link between reduced sleep and declining learning ability can help in addressing language learning challenges faced by older adults. I know from personal experience that sleep deprivation makes study and work so much more difficult. Not sleeping enough affects my motivation, concentration, attention span, and memory. Sleeping more is such a simple way to improve this. Immediate feedback. Immediate feedback plays a crucial role in language learning, especially for English learners seeking to improve their language proficiency. Research has shown that timely feedback can significantly impact the learning process and enhance the effectiveness of language acquisition. In the context of language learning, immediate feedback refers to receiving responses to language-related tasks or exercises straight away. This feedback can be in various forms, such as verbal corrections, so a teacher correcting you, written suggestions, or online exercises with instant scoring, like on a language learning app like Duolingo. The goal is to provide learners with real-time information about your language use, allowing you to identify and correct errors immediately. This active engagement with feedback helps you internalize the correct patterns and reinforce your language skills. I've actually mentioned one study that shows the importance of immediate feedback already in the last episode. It was the study of Japanese adults trying to tell the difference between R and L sounds. They only began improving once immediate feedback was introduced. Another study I found highlighted the importance of immediate feedback in artificial grammar learning tasks. So in this research, participants were given a task to sort groups of made-up words according to some hidden rules. The participants were divided into two groups, with both groups being provided with visual feedback after each classification. However, one group received instant feedback, while the other group experienced a 1 second delay in receiving feedback. The study's outcome revealed that both groups successfully learned the artificial grammar. Nevertheless, while both groups learned the word rules, the group that received immediate feedback improved much more than the delayed group. Getting feedback right away seems to be really helpful for learning faster and better. The researchers also looked at the brain activity of learners. They noticed that the group with delayed feedback had higher brain activity related to attention and thinking. It seems they had to work harder to understand the feedback delay. On the other hand, the group with the immediate feedback processed the information more easily, leading to better results. As learners kept practicing, they became less dependent on positive feedback over time. It's likely the participants grew more confident in their English skills and didn't need as much encouragement. However, both groups consistently responded to corrective feedback when they made mistakes, no matter their English level. The implications of this research for English learners are clear. To optimize language learning, you should actively seek immediate feedback on your language usage. Engaging in activities that provide instant corrections, such as language exercises with automatic scoring or practicing with a language partner who can provide real-time feedback, can greatly benefit you all. By receiving immediate feedback, you can identify and correct errors promptly, reinforcing correct language patterns and solidifying your understanding of English grammar and vocabulary. If you'd like to find someone to practice English with or an English tutor, look in the description of this podcast. We have a 50% off voucher for classes with Thinking in English. Smart goal setting. Humans are often bad at setting goals. I ask people all the time what their language learning goals are, and often the response is to become fluent or to reach an advanced level. This is not a good goal. Why? Well, it's not specific. What does it actually mean to be fluent? Does it mean conversationally, in terms of writing, reading, or something else? In terms of business or academics or just casual English? It's not measurable. How can you measure your progress, keep track of that study, if you're aiming for such a large, vague, and generic goal? It's not achievable. The goal of becoming fluent is vague and really difficult to achieve. And it's probably not relevant to your real purposes of learning English. And there is no time limits or schedule in this learning goal. In other words, our goals should fit the SMART goal setting approach. Goals should be specific, measurable, achievable, relevant, and time bound. I actually recorded an episode on New Year's resolutions back in January, which contains some really useful information and academic studies that I think is worth reiterating to all of you now. The psychologist Richard Wiseman conducted a study on New Year's resolutions and found that only 12% of people successfully kept their resolutions, indicating a high failure rate. The reasons for New Year's resolutions failure included setting unrealistic goals, lack of progress tracking, forgetting about the goals, and having too many resolutions at once. Wiseman highlights the importance of framing resolutions as approach goals, so starting something new, rather than avoidance goals, stopping something. And this will help you be more successful if you think about starting something new rather than stopping something. Additionally, the research shows that people are 22% more successful when they break their resolutions into small, measurable goals. Here are 10 recommendations from Richard Wiseman on how to make effective goals. So 1, make one goal and dedicate all your effort and energy to achieve it. 2, take the time to think about the goal, plan it out, and drink a cup of tea. 3, choose a new goal instead of repeating old ones that have failed before. 4, create a unique goal that is relevant to your personal goals and desires. 5, break the goal into smaller, measurable steps with specific timeframes. 6, share your goal with other people to gain support and accountability. 7, focus on the benefits of achieving the goal to stay motivated. 8. Reward yourself for achieving those smaller steps towards the goal. 9. Keep track of your progress by writing it down in a journal or a spreadsheet. And 10. View setbacks or failures as temporary and don't give up on the resolution. In that New Year's Resolutions article in January, I also recommended a few examples of good goals. So you could decide to read a specific number of English books. So set a target number of books to read in a specific time frame based on your level and lifestyle. This is specific, reading books, maybe reading 2 books. It's time bound, in 1 year maybe. It's relevant to your goal of improving your reading skills. It's achievable, especially if you choose a book that is suitable for you. And it's measurable. Did you read the books or did you not read the books? That's how we can measure it. Another goal you could do is to start an English journal. Commit to writing English regularly, choosing topics based on your goals and levels. And you can choose a time frame. You can choose a set amount of days you're supposed to write in English. You can customize these goals, but make sure that they are specific and measurable. You could make a goal to use a certain number of new words every week. You could join my conversation clubs and speak with other English learners to practice speaking skills. I have lots of members who join 2, 3, maybe even 4 times a week to events on my Discord server, just so they can practice English. And 5, do something in English every day for 10 minutes. Right, set aside a specific time daily for an English activity, such as reading, writing, or practicing conversations. So overall, I wanted to emphasize the importance of setting realistic, measurable, and time-based goals to increase the chances of your success in English learning. Stop aiming for perfection. Over a year ago, I released an episode about perfectionism and why it is bad for language learners. I'm sure many of you have listened to it already, but if not, make sure you search for it and listen. Perfectionism is something that holds back people from actually using and practicing their language. It is also an unachievable goal. You are never going to be perfect at anything, because there is always a way to be better and improve. In that episode last year, I talked about a few different studies and anecdotal stories. One was from the psychoanalyst Josh Cohen, who told a story about one of his former students who ruined their academic career out of a need for perfection. Another study I mentioned last year was from the Journal of Language Teaching and Research, which demonstrated how perfectionist tendencies in language learners are associated with low academic achievement and poor performance in language skills. In other words, perfectionists are bad learners. One study I found while researching today's episode looked more specifically at mistakes. According to the study, making mistakes during learning can actually improve memory for the right information, but only if the error is close to the correct answer. The study suggests that near-miss errors act as stepping stones to remembering the correct answer, while wild guesses that are far from the correct answer are bad for learning. For example, you want to use a verb. If you use the wrong form of the verb, maybe you accidentally use the past participle, it can still help you remember that correct form, especially if you're corrected immediately. But using the completely wrong word will make it much harder for you to learn. The research involved 32 young adults who had to guess the English meaning of certain Spanish words. It turns out that they were much better at remembering correct translations for words that resembled English words with similar meanings. On the other hand, participants had more difficulty recalling the meaning for words that looked similar to English words but had different meanings. When they were completely guessing, they really struggled to remember. But when they almost got the answer correct, it helped them to remember. In other words, they learned better when they made near-miss mistakes. In fact, they learned better with near-miss mistakes compared to if they made no mistakes at all. What does this mean for language learners? Well, the key takeaway for language learners is that making mistakes, particularly near-miss errors, is an integral part of the learning process. Instead of fearing mistakes, embrace them as opportunities for growth and improvement. When you make errors that are close to the correct answer, it can enhance your learning experience and help you to retain the right information. So, you should not be afraid to make mistakes, but rather view mistakes as valuable learning opportunities that contribute to your studying. However, you should also avoid making wild guesses, especially in quizzes or tests. If you take a practice test and you don't know the answers at all, it won't help you learn by guessing. But if you are close to those correct answers, those mistakes will really help you learn. Have fun. And finally, the best tip for learning a language is to have fun. There are countless studies out there that prove enjoying yourself and having fun while learning is one of the most effective ways to study. Why? Well, there's a few reasons. When you have fun, your brain releases dopamine, a substance that can improve your memory at that specific time. A study in the Educational Psychologist journal showed how taking part in games encourages you to take risks, and that having fun increases your motivation. And another study I found shows that fun and games can also improve your attention span. So try to study English in a way that is enjoyable for you. This could be playing games, taking part in challenges, or anything that you consider to be enjoyable. Fun makes things engaging, gives you motivation, improves your memory, and increases your attention span. So try to find a way of learning that is fun for you. So here is today's final thought. Today I have tried to highlight some more evidence-based techniques and methods to help you improve your studying. Sleeping more will increase your ability to remember and use English words, and allow you to learn at a higher level of efficiency. Incorporating immediate feedback into your study routine, maybe through online tools or private classes, is shown to be really beneficial. Making near-miss mistakes and avoiding wild guesses will also help you learn. Set realistic and smart goals, and try to have fun at the same time. Hopefully, some of these tips and tricks will be useful and help you to move forward in your studying. But what do you think? What advice do you have for other English learners? Let us know by leaving some comments. Comment on the transcript on the Thinking in English blog. The link is in the description. Leave a comment on Spotify. I try and post every single comment that I see on Spotify. Or you can send me a message on Instagram. Reach out on Instagram or make an Instagram story and tag me. And I tend to always reshare stories that I'm tagged in. Go over and leave a comment. If you're interested in listening to the first episode, go and listen to it, right? It's the one from last week called Science and English Learning. And there was 4 other topics that I talked about in that episode. So make sure you go and listen to that episode as well. And a few things I mentioned in today's episode included my conversation clubs, which take place every Tuesday and Thursday. We're taking a 1-week break at the beginning of August, but then from then on, we'll be doing conversation clubs at least 6 times a week until the next time we take a break, probably in October. Lots of conversation clubs coming up. Lots of events over on Patreon. And if you're interested in classes, there is a whole website called thinkinginenglish.link or Thinking in English Classes, where you can go and book classes. We have one-on-one tutors. We have group classes. There's even occasionally courses and workshops that are held to help you improve your English in a more direct way. Conversation clubs are about practicing with other English learners and tutors and speaking. Classes are about taking a lesson in a small group of 3 or 4 people or a one-on-one lesson and learning in that environment. So I'd really recommend checking out those things. And if you want to use Patreon has a 7-day free trial and Thinking in English Classes, you can use the code TRIAL50, TRIAL50. And you'll get 50% off your first class. But thank you all for listening, and I'll see you next time. Goodbye.